Sorry.
Amen. Well, let's jump in and see what God has for us this morning. God has a message for us this morning. I know it'll be an encouragement. It'll bless you. We're going to talk about the fruit of faithfulness and all the things that go along with that fruit and fruit being produced in your life and some of the good things that God is up to and what He's already begun and what he's working on right now. And then there's a little bit that we play in this, a little part that we play. And we're going to see that, how it relates to faithfulness. But let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we're praising You in the name of Jesus. We exalt the King. You are our Savior. You are the only way to heaven. Father, we understand that. We acknowledge that. We trust in that. And we now claim that as a body of Christ, lifting You up, pointing at You, saying, Lord, we exalt You, and we choose to exalt You to the point that others will also exalt You. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for Your word this morning. Lift us up in Your realm, Lord, where we can understand in the Spirit and see the things that You're doing in our lives right now, and that we can live out in a faithful walk towards You, Lord, letting fruit be produced and flow through our life, Lord. We trust You for this. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So we are going to talk a little bit about fruit, okay, and the fruit that God is producing through your life, okay? But for starters, I want to hone in on one part of your walk, and that is the faithfulness. Okay, the faithfulness part of your walk. So what does it mean to be faithful? Okay, or to produce faithfulness? Okay, to be faithful is simply to be trustworthy. Okay, it means that you are trustworthy. It means that when something is given to you, something is delegated to you, that you can be trusted to follow through, okay? That you can use it appropriately, that you will make the most of it, okay? That God has done something in your life, or whether it's an employer or God, we'll kind of lump them together here for just a minute, but that you can be trusted, that you can be depended on, okay? When someone is found to be faithful, okay, it means that you are convinced and assured that they can be relied on, that they are dependable to that point. I'll give you one example. Some of you can remember all the way back to when this church began. There was many, many, many weeks and even months where I spent just preaching to my own family. We were advertising, trying to spread the word, going and being places, doing everything we could to get the word out. And yet week after week, I would show up and it would be my wife and two sons and maybe one other person, one or two, okay, were coming in the beginning. And that went on for weeks, even months. Okay, and there was many times during that period when I questioned not whether I was supposed to be doing it, okay, because I know I'm called. I knew that was what I was supposed to do. I had heard that word. But whether it was the right time, whether you know, I began to question, maybe I missed it. Maybe because things were hard, trust me. You do that week after week, and after a while, you start thinking, man, I don't know, maybe I missed something. Maybe there's something wrong here. What is happening? And I heard very clearly every week I would pray and say, God, you want me to do it again? Because everything at that point, all the expenses, the church, everything, the rent, all those things were coming out of our pocket, making it very hard, even as a family. Okay, it just made it that much harder. So I would ask Him every week, do you want me to do this? Is it the right time? Are we on track? And every week I would hear that this is about your faithfulness. It is about seeing, proving you whether or not you will be there and hang in there, because Rollins is a tough road to travel. And in order to make it in Rollins, Wyoming, I don't care if it's a church or a job or whatever you're doing, it's a tough road. And once you get through that and you make it to that point where you know that you're able to endure it and stand and go forward, things begin to happen, and God can continue to move forward. I believe I was tested during that time and proven to be faithful. I'm going to show up on Sunday and Wednesday, week after week after week, whether anybody else comes or not. Okay, it was proven in my heart, and obviously, apparently, was proven to God as well. Faithfulness is a characteristic that shows God and others that you have been loyal in the smaller things and that they can trust you then to be faithful in the bigger things, okay, as God continues to do what He does. Another example I was thinking of was when I worked at UPS. I started out on the ground floor. Okay, basically, literally, the ground floor, loading trucks, right? It was at 4:30 in the morning. It was hard work. I lost, I can't remember if it was 27 or 37 pounds just from doing the work. It's that physical work. And so, and it was that time of day, that every day, Monday through Friday kind of thing. But it was a job that I showed up at day after day, on time, early, worked hard, stayed late, to the point that within, I think it was 2 months, they said, hey, we'd like you to become an air driver. Okay, that's kind of the next step up, where you learn to, you get trained to drive the big brown trucks, and you go from the facility to the airport and meet with the airplane that brings in the next day air packages. Then you bring that back to the facility, we load it on trucks, and out they go. Okay, well, I said, sure, I'll do that. So I got trained to do that and began doing that. Within a few months, they said, we want you to bump up to a full-time driver because you know, you're doing this efficiently, you've been safe, all those things. So they bumped me to a full-time driver. Okay, and within a few months of being a full-time driver, okay, I was hitting what they call scratch or under, which means I could do the route, any route that they put me on as fast as anybody else could do the route or better. Okay, I was at scratch or better. Okay, so within a few months, they said, we'd like you to become into management. We'd like you to manage the Rollins facility and the Laramie one. And so I jumped into that role. Had to go through more training, and I kid you not, it was like a boot camp. Kids, guys younger than me, I didn't cry, but some of them cried. It was that hard of a training. Okay, and they basically wanted to make sure you were going to hang in there. Okay, so I went through that and did all these to get bumped up to that management level, managing two facilities. I'm not saying all that to boast on me, but I'm saying that the one thing that made that happen was being faithful, being loyal to the company, to the point that they knew, in fact, the training that they sent you to, one of them, they literally came in on a Tuesday and said, hey, you're flying out tomorrow to go to Portland. That's where the main office was, and you're going to be there tomorrow. You're going to fly there tomorrow. You'll be there Thursday and fly back on Friday. Okay, so he just basically said, pack your bags. Well, that entire meeting was a loyalty meeting. He said, wear your best suit, and if you don't have one, go buy one. Because this is the best, most important meeting that you're ever going to go to for the entire time that you're with this company. And I went out, and it was a loyalty meeting. It was all about the company buying stock. We literally walked away with stock and all these things in the company because we were now a part owner of the company. That's the way that they trained you. Okay, well, all that only happened to those that were faithful. Okay, because I saw as a preloader loading trucks, 4:30 in the morning, it's hard work. I saw people come and go over and over and over again. Some of them would show up one day and never be back. Some of them would show up for a week and then they would call out sick one day, or they would just not show up. And then you would call them and they'd say, well, I overslept, sorry about that. You'd set them up to come in the next day. They might come in one day, maybe two, and then you'd never see them again. Over and over and over again. It was one of the highest turnover things I'd ever seen in my life for a position. Okay, well, that is that faithfulness wasn't there. Okay, those guys didn't get the promotions and move on through because they wanted to do that with every single one of those people. If there was a person that came into the company and was faithful and loyal, they wanted to move them up to the point. And even as a manager, I was getting called to take over. I got asked twice to take over the Rock Springs facility. Okay, and wants to ask to take a facility in a different state. And they wanted you to go that next level. There was a management, then there was a regional, and then the big dogs, you know, over them. And everybody in the company, that was kind of the way it worked. They wanted you to move up. Okay, it's one of the reasons why I'm not there, because I wanted to stay right here in Rollins, Wyoming. Okay, but the whole point is, I believe that some of you are being tested to see whether you're faithful. Okay, whether it's your walk with God, you got things that are coming at you, maybe you're going through kind of a dry period, things aren't happening like you think they should be, or maybe you're just not hearing as much, maybe whatever it is, maybe it's in your workplace and it just seems like mundane tasks, but you're the one that shows up and does it, and pretty soon they start depending on you, they start counting on you, pretty soon they start dumping more work on you because you're faithful and you show up, but guess what? You don't complain, you handle it, and you move up. Okay, then you're the one telling other people to go do those jobs. Okay, it works that way. Okay, Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Okay, so people pay attention. Okay, I think faithfulness has a lot to do with your reputation as a believer, as a Christian. It is a main factor in the quality and the depth of your character. Okay, is your faithfulness. In fact, faithfulness, I believe, in a lot of ways, is the beginning of your character. Okay, see if you can follow me on this. As the Apostle Paul was describing the ministers, the stewards, the servants of the mysteries of God, he says that it is required, actually essential and demanded of the servants of Christ that you are found faithful and trustworthy. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay, because if you're not faithful in a little, you'll never be given more. I believe that many of you are faithful. Okay, I believe that you wouldn't be here if you weren't of that sort, that you are faithful in honoring God with your life. Okay, you are faithful to your spouse. You're faithful to your friends. You're loyal to your employer. You are faithful to your church. And you're even faithful in your giving. Faithfulness definitely has its rewards. Okay, Jesus said that they that are faithful unto the end will be blessed. There was always a blessing in it. He that overcomes, he that is faithful to the end, there was always a reward, and the churches were looking at in Revelation. Solomon was a very wise man, and he reminded us in Proverbs 28:20 that a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. But I was puzzled one day thinking about faithfulness. I was reading through a parable that Jesus had spoken, and it had to do with faithfulness. And after I studied it a little bit deeper, I got to the point that I found that faithfulness was not the end result that the Lord was looking for. Faithfulness was a means to an end. It was a starting point to reach a goal. Okay, let me explain this, because there is a myth about faithfulness that needs to be busted. Oftentimes in church, we get to the point that we think faithfulness is the end goal. And everything is okay as long as we are faithful. But if you look at the teachings of Jesus, there's another objective in play. There's another goal that he had in mind as a result of faithfulness, and that is fruitfulness. Okay? It was never about just being faithful. It was about being faithful to the point you're at where you need to be so that fruit can be produced through your life. Okay? You need to be faithful. Okay? And you are. Okay? I'll say, well done. Good job. Pat yourself on the back. You're faithful. Okay? But faithfulness is more than just the one thing that needs to be present in a believer's life. You're also called to be fruitful. Okay? Your life is called, you're called to produce something through your life. You apply your faithfulness to the task of producing fruit in the kingdom of God. Okay? And even in these days that we live in, okay, when all does not seem to be going in the best direction for Christians. Okay, it's going to be harder to be a believer in the future. Just count on that. But it is still possible, and it is still expected that you are fruitful. Okay, God's word says that they that trust in him shall be like a tree that's planted by the seashore, always having enough moisture, always having the nutrients that they need to be fruitful. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, it says this. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Okay, your leaves, in other words, will not dry up. Okay, you will still produce fruit. See if you can grab onto this. Because your faithfulness is what planted you by the water's edge. Your faithfulness is what puts you to be in the right place at the right time. But just being planted there is not where you stop. Okay? It is simply what sets you up to prosper in the things of God. Faithfulness sets you up to prosper in the things of God. Okay, in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Okay, God wants you to do something with what he has blessed you with. God wants you to prosper and to produce fruit right where you're planted. Okay, so wherever that is, whether it's a, you know, job packing boxes on trucks, or it's serving in a church, or whatever it is, wherever you are planted, God wants you to prosper and to produce fruit, okay, that will bring glory to him in the end. You remember I said that there was a parable of Jesus that I was reading, and it kind of puzzled me. It had to do with faithfulness, I could see that. But I saw something else after I dug into it. I want to read that parable to you. It's in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man that was traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. And to another one, and two, and to another one, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Verse 16, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. In other words, he doubled it. "And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. He doubled his. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Well, after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes, and he reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' And verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' Then when he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and I went, and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.' And his Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, at least put it in the bank, so I could, and then at my coming it says I should have received mine own with usury, or at least got some interest on it.' Verse 28, it said, 'Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents, because he's proven he's faithful, right? For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The master applauded and rewarded the fruitful servants that invested what they had been given. Not the one that just buried his talent and returned it to the master. That tells us that faithfulness is not the end result that the master is looking for, but it is true loyalty and true faithfulness that leads to producing a fruit. Jesus gave us an indicator in the scriptures to know how to determine if someone is a true believer or a false deceiver. And it was not just their faithfulness to a cause. It is the fruit their life is producing. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of the false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." Jesus spoke pretty strongly about this stuff, didn't he? Casting them into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then in this one we read that they will be hewn down and cast into the fire simply because they did not produce fruit. What is being produced through your life matters. Even the end of the explanation of the parable, remember the soil and the seeds that are planted in the soil, and some grows up and some's choked out and all those things. Well, the end of that explanation was that they that were planted should produce fruit. That was the end goal. The end of the explanation of that parable of the soils and the seeds that are planted in them was that there should be some fruit to show from that which was planted. Okay, they were planted, and planted appropriately, they should produce fruit. Mark 4:20, Jesus explained it and said, "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100." The production of fruit is an important message woven throughout the teachings of Jesus Christ. Okay, even in John chapter 15, talks about the vine. John 15:1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, so that it may bring forth more fruit." Right? A goal. More fruit. Fruit is the end goal. Right? Fruit is what the Lord likes to see produced through our life. So, what is the fruit then that we are to produce? Okay, what does the fruit look like? Okay, obviously it's important to the Lord that we produce fruit. So how do we know when we're producing the fruit that is pleasing to Him? Well, the best place that I can think of to look up the fruit that God is wanting to produce would be to look at where the passages talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, His Holy Spirit within us. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, Paul said, "The fruit of the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, capital S, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith," when you look it up, it's faithfulness, "meekness, temperance," okay, or self-control. "Against such things there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit produced through our life is a direct result of His Holy Spirit within us. It cannot be produced otherwise. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You are His place of residence. You are the home of the Holy Spirit. You've been taught that we are made up of a spirit, soul, and body. That means you're at least one-third Holy Ghost, right? You're at least one-third Holy Spirit. God is in you. The Spirit of God in us is therefore the fruit that should be coming out of us is going to emanate from that Spirit of God within us. The result of the presence of the Spirit of God within us, according to these verses, is love. Okay? You want to know if you're walking in the fruit and the fruit is being expressed? You should have love. And I'm going to say, not just concern for others kind of love, okay, but unselfish concern for others. Because that's a very important facet of love. Okay, many people have a selfish concern for others. Okay, they are only interested in that other person's benefit so long as it will benefit them somehow. Okay, I'll help you get a better job if you'll give me some money. I'll help you, you know, whatever. They're going to get something from it. And so people do things that they say are love when it's really a selfish concern for themselves. Okay, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life includes joy. Okay, it's more than just a moment of happiness, more than feeling good for a moment. It's a true cheerfulness. Okay, it's a calm delight. Okay, being excited to be alive. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life includes peace. And I'm going to call it inner peace. Okay, because it does not mean that there will not be chaos in your life, or that you will always have controllable circumstances, that you will always be comfortable. Okay, there will be times when you are very uncomfortable. Things surrounding you may not be going that well, but you can still have inner peace in the midst of that chaos. Okay, when everybody else is freaking out, okay, you're still calm and content. Okay, knowing that it's all going to be okay. That which is produced in us is the ability to be patient. Okay, and by that I don't mean just the ability to wait. It's the ability to wait with integrity. Okay, it's the ability to wait calmly, to maintain kindness. When evil is magnified around us, we will still emanate the goodness of God. Okay, we are not producing frustration and chaos. Okay, but with the gift of temperance or self-control, we steadfastly endure and even alter our circumstances for the benefit of others. See, I picked out the fruit of faith out of this list. Faithfulness. Because I am convinced that these fruits are not listed in a hierarchical order. I don't know if that's a word or not. I don't think that they're listed out in these verses in order of importance. Okay, I think that faithfulness is critical to the rest being produced. And that they were, if we were to put in order of productivity or an order of value on these gifts, on these fruits, faithfulness would have to rank right at the top of that list, right next to love, I'll say. Okay, like I don't think you can get any bigger than love, right? Love conquers all. Okay, so faithfulness is going to be right there with love. It's what puts you in a position to be fruitful. The Apostle Paul describes the works of a man or a woman's life and says that what remains after the shaking, what remains after the fire, is the true fruit of your life. Okay, but then he adds that it is the Holy Spirit within you that is the source for producing that fruit. Case in point is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Says, for other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds up upon this foundation, gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall still be saved, yet so as by fire. And then he says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay, faithfulness is a core value that puts us where the truth is. Faithfulness is the quality that implies that we are in it to win it. Okay, it is ready. We are saying that we are ready to diligently accept and care for and utilize every minute detail of what the Lord has given us. In other words, we will be faithful with what God has given us. It is the stability, it is the security in our life that says we have believed and received and we are interested in more. And we can be trusted with what the Lord wants to give us. We all know probably what it's like to have someone abuse our trust. Okay, someone that doesn't, you know, we give them something, try to benefit them, and they blow it. They squander it. Okay, they misuse it. What could have been a tremendous blessing for them, what could have easily multiplied and been used to their advantage, ends up just being wasted. But every person in this room has been given something by God. Okay, you have been given trust. You have been given the fruits of the Spirit through His Holy Spirit. You have been given gifts from above. You were specifically chosen to be you. I believe that you were chosen to be where you're at today, even a part of this church, where you're at in your workforce, where you're at in your family, that God has specifically chosen you to be you in that moment, okay, in this time. It is your faithfulness that has put you in a position to produce fruit. Okay? So as you go this week, apply the fruits of the Spirit. Allow them to flow through your life. Apply the love and the patience. Let the kindness and the goodness of God flow through you. I believe that you're here because you are faithful. So now let your faithfulness bear some fruit. Okay? Let it continue on. You've put yourself in the right place, so now let it come forth. Let the fruits of His Spirit be manifest. Father God, we're praising You this morning as our King and our Savior. Father, we thank You that You are the one that prepared these fruits for us, that You gave us this through Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that we have within us Your Spirit to allow these things to flow in and through our life. We thank You that You have planted us by the river's edge. You put us in the right place so that we can now produce fruit. I thank You that we don't live in the world's economy, but we live in Yours. We live in a place where no matter where we're at, what's going on around us, that we are still able to produce fruit because of You doing what You've done, Lord, putting us in that right place at the right time. Father, we choose today to be faithful. We choose to be loyal to You. We choose to lay down our lives, take up the cross, to follow after You, to share and to spread the gospel with as many people as we can. And Father, we know that being faithful is a key part of that. So Lord, today we pray that our faithfulness has put us in that special place of prosperity, to prosper in the things that You want us to do every day, whether it's love and relationships or financially or health or whatever area, that we will prosper in it because of Your plan. And we have put ourselves in that place so that we can let Your gifts, let Your fruit be produced through our life. Father, we're praising You this morning. You are a King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are a God, our Savior, the one that we trust in for every facet of our life, Lord. We thank You for these things. Send us forth today as victors. Send us forth today as those that have been empowered by Your Spirit to live out this life that You have called us to. We praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name we say, amen.